Alrighty. So last week during intercession, I talked a little bit about waiting on the Lord and the importance of that. It was something that was talked about a lot during the Ken Fish conference that me, Jason, Courtney, and David and their family had the honor of getting to go to at their home church in Snailville, which is, well, I guess now not the home church, but it was. And it's an awesome church. If you get a chance to go there, please do. They have wonderful worship team and just wonderful people that work there. So I really felt impressed to bring that back, some of what I was learning there. And so I really want to talk about waiting on the Lord. I feel like it's something that I haven't heard a lot about personally, and so I feel like it would not be bad to kind of do a refresher. I'm sure most of you elders and older people know all this information, and this will be slight regurgitation from what I did learn at the conference, but I think that's okay for me to copy my first couple times because I've never done this. I'm sure I will find my own way eventually. So this whole thing about waiting on the Lord, I first want to validate it in Scripture, and I want to use both Old and New Testament, because I know some people be like, that's the Old Testament, it doesn't apply now, but it does, and it is in the New Testament. So first we're going to look at Exodus 33:7. Now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp, far from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting of God with his own people. And everyone who sought the Lord went out to that temporary tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. And I am reading out of the Amplified Version, so there's a little bit of extension out of this. So if you want those small extensions, then I would look at the Amplified Version. And so, you know, that's just one instance. Moses, pretty cool dude, you know, brought God's people out of Egypt and whatnot. The second mention of this is in 1 Samuel 3:2-3. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was rare and precious in those days, and there was no frequent or widely spread vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had grown dim, and this was not dim as in he was going blind, this is dim as in he wasn't hearing or seeing from God because of his refusal to rein in his sons who were being very disobedient. His heart was not completely for the Father, it was for his sons. Whose eyesight were dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was lying down. When the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. This is another reference of someone spending a lot of time in the presence of God before hearing from him. And the third I would like to talk about is from the prophet Isaiah, and this is Isaiah 30:18. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, longing to be gracious, gracious to you, and therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, which is happy, fortunate, and to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and long and wait for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken compassion. So those are all of my Old Testament references. It's talked about way more than this in the Old Testament, but these are just the three that were highlighted to me and during this conference. I thought those a little bit more than just a coincidence if it's brought up this much. And if that's not enough for you, because these were some pretty big movers and shakers in Scripture in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the biggest mover and shaker, Jesus Christ, did this a lot during his ministry, where he went away from people after he ministered, and he sought silence, solitude, and just him and the Lord time. He would walk out, and it happened during two of the most notable times on his time on earth was his 40-day fast, when he went to the desert to be with the Lord, and then he was tempted by the enemy, and then also at the Garden of Gethsemane before he was captured by the Romans and then sent to be crucified. He took his time before that, and he just spent time with the Father. He did make a short plea, but then he just stayed with the Father in his presence. This is important. And again, these were all movers and shakers that had favor with the Lord. Why? Because they waited on him. They waited in his presence. So what is waiting? What does waiting look like? And why does the Lord like it so much? We have such a relational God. He created us for the sole purpose to be relational with Him, to commune with Him. It says in Genesis that Adam and Eve would walk with Jesus during the cool of the day. He wants to spend time with us. And it's so, so precious that we get to do that. And first, I do want to define what this waiting is in Hebrew. The Hebrew definition, and apologize for my pronunciation, but I believe it's kava, or wait, is to hope, expect, look eagerly, and also can mean to bind together, to bring close, to intertwine, to become one with. So this waiting brings about unity with our Creator, unity with Holy Spirit, unity with Jesus. Sounds pretty important to me. Something that we shouldn't stop. So now I want to talk about what this waiting looks like. It is giving the Lord your undivided attention and your undivided heart, which was another hard-pressed point of that conference from Melissa, who was prophet from Egypt, correct? Yeah, and she was also a speaker there. And having an undivided heart is very important. I may talk about that sometime. It's having undivided attention and undivided heart towards the Lord. As in, I'm not looking at anything else except for Him. That's it. That's all I'm doing. No distractions. My phone isn't going off. My computer isn't distracting me. I have chosen time to get away. I don't have them, but if I had kids, to get away from the kids and the wife and just spend time with the Father. It's intentional time that you're giving up. And it also looks like listening more than talking. A lot of the times we pray and we're the ones doing all the talking. And again, if we're in a relationship with the Lord, who wants to be married to someone that's doing all the talking and the asking and the getting, and you're getting nothing out of it? And that's how the Lord feels sometimes with us. Because we'll be doing all the talking, all the asking, all the demanding, all the pleading, all the whining, and we won't simply sit and say, Lord, what's on your mind? I want to listen to you. The third thing that waiting looks like is that it's, and again, I'm re-emphasizing this, and we're going to go back to Exodus 33:7 so I can show you how often this is talked about, and I'll point it out in several other places. But Exodus 33:7, now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside of the camp. It's to get alone, separate, isolate. So it's just you and the Father and your time with Him, and that's it. And further down there, it does say a pillar of cloud would descend upon that tent where Moses was, and the Lord and him would talk. He couldn't see anybody either. It wasn't just that he was separated, but he couldn't see anybody else. There was no distraction. He couldn't see a fire if it was going on around him. It was just him and the Lord, and he did that intentionally. We have to get away with the Lord intentionally. Oh, man. Thank you, Jesus. And also the last thing, and I think it's the most important, because again, we talk a lot, and we talked a lot recently about counting the costs of this relationship and this walk that we have with the Father, and counting the cost of what it is to be at this church that is trying to pioneer and move further and go past the milk, go past the meat, and go on to the mysteries. And it's costly. It takes time. Time. Your most precious commodity. It's not even a commodity. Your most precious resource is time. You only have so much of it, and you can never get more of it. You only have what you have, and as soon as it's gone, it's gone. The Lord wants that. He wants the most valuable thing that you have, which is your time, and it's time to give to Him. And it's His attention, and I mean, I'm talking about, my phone goes off 20 hours a day, so if I go to pray, and if I have my phone on me, I'm hearing ding, 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 ding. 1 second, God. Yeah, we'll get lunch at Chick-fil-A. One minute. You know, come on. Give Him real time. If you are sitting with your wife, and I know a lot of you are married in this room, if you're sitting with your wife, or if you have been married, or you have been in a relationship, and you're sitting with that significant other, husband or wife, and you are sitting with them, and you're just like staring at the TV when she's trying to have a conversation with you, how ticked would she be? What sort of a relationship is that? What sort of relationship are you trying to build with God if you're not willing to give Him your undivided attention? And personally, I think waiting on the Lord looks different than your general everyday prayer, because it's intentional and you're setting time aside. And honestly, when you're waiting on the Lord, when I'm waiting on the Lord, as I'm learning, and if I'm wrong, please rebuke me and correct me. I'm still young, so there's a lot of things that I may be saying wrong right now. But I'm not saying a word. It is a long amount of time where I am sitting with just Him. I'm not talking. I may be doing something a little mindless like sketching or reading scripture, but I'm not talking. I'm not asking. I'm not pleading. I'm simply wanting to minister to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, you talk about what you want to talk about. And even if you don't want to talk, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to listen. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was waiting to be crucified, he was asking and pleading very briefly with the Father, if this cup can be taken from me, please do if it's possible. We don't hear anything about a reply there. He was just silent, but he chose to sit with his Father anyways. That's how precious being in the presence of God is, even in our anxieties. So why does the Lord like it so much? And I feel like it's been pretty obvious since I've been talking. But it's because he wants a relationship, a genuine relationship that's not just asking, that's not just talking, because that's not just one-sided, but you are also listening to him. I thought it was very interesting back in Samuel 3:2-3, that first sentence. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. Now, some of you guys may already have caught on in this, but this is my first time reading it and seeing this word particularly, but ministered to the Lord. And I was like, okay, well, I've ministered to people. I've ministered to the needy. I've ministered to the sick, like to the hurting. Like what is, and then I realized I don't really have a good definition of what ministry is. And it says to attend to the needs of someone. Now, God is omnipotent and God is all powerful. He doesn't really need anything from us, but he chose to create us for relationship. And he is sovereign, so he made that sovereign connection, and he does need relationship with us. He does want and crave relationship with us. And that's so he can talk to us too. And again, many of us talk about wanting to flow more in the prophetic, and this is not what it's about, but flowing more in the prophetic, flowing more in healing, flowing more in all the gifts of the Spirit. But why would the Father put all of that on you and in you if you're not willing to spend genuine time with him? If you want the gifts, take quality time with the Lord. If you want to get better at these gifts, take quality time with the Lord so you learn to hear what he's saying. If you're hearing what he's saying, all of these things will be added unto you. It's about genuinely just dropping everything. I'm putting away the phone. I'm putting away the kids. I'm putting away the stress, all the chaos. My house is on fire, maybe. I don't know, but I know this is the time that I said I'm spending with you. So I'm on my knees, or I'm sitting in my room, or I'm laying in my bed, and all I am doing is sitting and listening. I am just listening. And if it's just about me and you hanging out, Lord, then that's okay. We can just hang out. And I'm going to give you that time that you want. Because you want it, and I love you, and I try to love you as much as you love me, but I'm going to try my hardest, and I'm going to give you my time, the most valuable thing that I have. But I find that a lot of times, at least for me personally, I'm not sure about you guys, I find it hard to sit in a room for more than 10 minutes and just be quiet and not think about other things and not get distracted. And it's hard to sit and wait on the Lord. It's not easy. There's things going on in our lives. There's a lot of anxieties, a lot of worries, got bills to pay, got to put food on the table for some people, got to keep a roof over our heads. But it's important. It's so important to wait on him. And so this is why it's so important to have what I said earlier, which is an undivided heart. And maybe I'll get another chance to talk about this because my time's about up. But having an undivided heart, there are things that we are refusing to give up in our lives that if we gave up, we would realize how much time we really had to give towards the Lord. Recently, the Lord convicted me to give up television. That was a hard one. It wasn't fun. And I wasn't watching anything bad per se, but he just said, I want that time. After this conference, he said, I want that time. So I gave it to him. And things have happened because of that. But that is all the time I have. I will give it over to Dad, Father, Pastor Craig Cooper, and it is his time to talk, and that's a wrap for me.